All right, good morning. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. And get some scriptures here. Andy is going to read Genesis 3, 6 through 12 is our main verse. Brian, get Genesis 3, 6. This Brian, Genesis 3, 12. John, Proverbs 12, 22. And that's that. So, any area of life where there is failure, whether that is sports, whether that is business, politics, or even in the kingdom of God, it usually comes back to a failure of leadership. And so, as men, the original example of leadership in the Bible, of course, is Adam in the garden. And so we're going to look at a leadership failure from Genesis 3, verses 6 through 12. You'll read that, Andy.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded that you should not eat?" Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate."
Okay, leadership failure. Let's look at three areas of leadership failure. And the first is failure to lead. So this scripture, Genesis, is the book of beginnings. That's what the word Genesis actually means. And it lays the pattern for the rest of the Word of God. And so we find in this scripture that God places responsibility of leadership on men. So you have in the account of creation, you have Genesis 1, you have instructions that were given apparently to both Adam and Eve, and this had to do with their overall purpose in being fruitful, multiplying, etc., etc. But there were instructions in chapter 2 that were given only to Adam. There's no indication that Eve was there. So to take the things that God wanted and to apply them to both of their lives, God didn't say, "Eve, I need to meet with you." He simply put it on Adam. That shows us something, that the responsibility, it lies primarily with men. And so the problem that we read in our scripture is when men fail to understand the role of leadership, when they fail to understand that idea, we believe in the Genesis pattern, and that is that God's plan for leadership in life, in the home, in the church, is meant to be men. The difficulty with that is foolish men, they don't understand what that means. And they think, "Great, look, woman, the Bible says I'm in charge." And that's what they think is because I am meant to be the leader, that means I, in their mind, that is the orderer. I order you. I command you. And they think that that's what leadership is. And often, foolish men, they will use the Bible as evidence. You know, I just got to tell you, if you have to use the Bible to tell your wife that you're in charge, you're not, okay? It's not going to help you. And so if a man fails to understand the role of leadership, number one, that he should lead, and then two, how you go about that, what you wind up is you wind up having wives that actually resent their husbands. They resent leadership as a whole. right? There, you know, I don't know if you are aware of this. There will be ladies in church that don't like me, and I've actually never done anything to them. What they really don't like is the men in their life have foolishly tried to take leadership. So therefore, they hate all leadership. They hate all men. And that's unfortunate. Or if you take that into ministry, there are wives that they resent ministry as a whole because the husband is not understood either the correct role of leadership or how to apply it. So think about this, and this you appreciate we're skimming just for the purpose of triggering your thinking. But in the role of leadership, number one, you lead by instructing. You cannot assume that because in your head you know you're in charge in whatever area, that everybody else understands that, why, and what should happen. You read in the accounts of Genesis 2 and Genesis 3, God's instruction to Adam is that he said, don't eat of the tree. But when Eve is tempted, what she says to the serpent is, don't eat of the tree. God said, don't eat of the tree and don't touch it. So apparently, what Adam communicated was not clear, and that is that's a problem when men are commanding or demanding without instructing in basic understandings of what we are doing, why we are doing it, what are the long-term implications. If you just in your marriage, in your relationships, if it's just a knee-jerk, no, we're not going to do that, and you need it, then you're failing to understand leadership, first of all, is instruction. There are times in life in which we need to fall in line in lots of areas at work or even in the church, even if you don't clearly understand, but that's not optimal. And so in instruction, that was Adam's first failure. He failed to instruct. We lead, secondly, by including. That is that's one of the crucial factors. Any of you that you feel a call of God to be used, whether that's in church in a role or whether that is ultimately to preach the gospel, the great mistake is this is what I am doing. And it's like, oh, yeah, are you coming? That's a great mistake. You have to include because she's the one who's going to be the biggest part of this. She's the one who will pay the cost that is involved in ministry. And so letting your wife be a part of your life and ministry, you don't want to give your wife the impression as the what's important in my life is I'm involved in bands and drama and video and evangelism and follow-up and doing everything. I was like, oh, you want me to talk to you? Like, what? As though that those are two separate things. The problem is there's no manual, there's no app for this. You have to wisely, you are including, we are doing this together. You are attempting to create a vision together. And the last part is we lead by valuing. Valuing people is a crucial part of leadership, right? Rehoboam made a great mistake because he thought he was in charge, so therefore he started laying down the law, but he didn't value. These were the people who helped his father build the kingdom. So simply ordering them around, they didn't feel valued. Then, of course, it caused problems. That begins in its most basic form, leadership. It's not an accident. In Genesis, it begins in the home. With his wife. That's the most basic form of leadership. Don't tell me your dreams and plans of world revival and standing in stadiums of thousands. It begins in the home. And so it causes problems when men have time for everyone else but their wife. That's a message that you're not going to like the end result. And then, of course, then the problem is that is different for each person, and that is different in seasons. Sometimes your wife, for various reasons, needs more attention than than in others. My old joke, if you ever wake up and your wife is sharpening a knife above your head, it's probably a sign that you need to pay a little more attention. So, okay, that's a failure to lead. Let's talk secondly about a failure to stand. If you read the story from chapter 3, it almost sounds like Adam came home after work, right? He comes home after a long day in the garden, and while he was away, his wife was eating of the tree, talking to the devil, and it's like, what have you done? But that is not accurate. In actual fact, Adam was right there while Eve was being tempted, Genesis 3:6.
So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate.
Okay, in the New Century Version, gave to her husband who was with her. So this is not Adam showing up after the, 3 hours after Eve already ate, and then, hey, you want to eat? Yeah, why not? No. He was there the entire time. So that means then, here's the second failure. He failed to protect his wife against damaging influences. Right? God gave a clear command to to Adam, and that was, his job was, in the King James, keep the garden. Other translations say, guard the garden, or you might even find, guard against intruders. The serpent, the devil, was an intruder who had no business in their lives. His job was to deal with the snake, and he didn't do that. So that's a great failure. So in leadership, you have at times the protecting your wife against damaging influences may be simply demonic. There are times when your wife may be assaulted in her mind and her emotions. It's not based rationally or reasonably in a current problem. It is demonic, and your job is to value her enough to stand against that. Pray with your wife. Praying with your wife is one of the most powerful things you can do. Okay, you ought to come to morning prayer, but husbands and wives at time, I'm not talking about family devotions. Let's open the Bible, honey. What do you think that scripture means? I'm not talking about that. There are times in crucial moments, let's pray. And that is crucial. The second practical application of this would be, there are people that are harmful to your wife. You need to recognize that. Maybe that is because they have they might have a funky spirit in various ways. They might be trying to put on your wife greed and carnality. It might be rebellion that you have to deal with. So in recognizing that, the simple thing would be, Adam should have dealt with the snake, but he also should have dealt with his wife. We don't talk to snakes. But he didn't do that. He allowed her, which caused, and then there may be situations that you can potentially put your wife in that may be harmful. You need to protect her. But the real issue then is, Adam failed to stand against his wife's desires. Right? When, what does it say? When she saw that the tree was desirable. So in other words, Eve wanted something. Now, it's very unlikely that what she wants is going to be 100% opposite of what you want. Often it's hand in hand. But the issue here was, she wanted something that was unhealthy and ungodly. So the simple answer is, why didn't Adam just say no? Right? Why didn't he slap the snake? But in actual fact, why didn't he just say to his wife, absolutely not, what are you thinking? Get away from the snake, let me chop its head off. But he didn't do that. Why? And, just knowing human nature is probably as he didn't want to cross her. He didn't want her to be angry with him. He didn't want her to have any emotions and go cold on him. Or he didn't want her to punish him in any way. So The failure of leadership is passivity. I allow because I don't want drama or a problem. And again, I have to caution, if you absolutely have lacked wisdom your whole life, you're going to go home today. Pastor Greg says, I'm being charged. I'm laying down the law, woman. I'm predicting you might not even be alive for the evening service, but it's not a good strategy. There are other factors, but I'm just saying that you have to do this. So he let his wife have her way, even though that was destructive. And that is one of the most common failures of leadership in the world, is men who let their wives have their own way in things they know that are not wise. They think this is going to be easier. So let me just explain something, gentlemen, is if you don't let your wife have her way, it'll cause you problems. But letting her have her own way, and I'm not talking about which flavor of ice cream here, you appreciate, we're talking about destructive things, harmful things. You let your wife have your own way because you think it doesn't save you any trouble. Right? So it's small trouble now, it's absolutely destructive trouble later, but it's going to be trouble, so pick which one you want. It's often easier to deal with at the beginning. Final thought of leadership failure is failure to take responsibility. So now Adam has failed to lead, he's failed to stand, and so now he tries to pass responsibility. Genesis 3:12.
Then the man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate."
Okay, so Adam, where are you? And he says, "The woman." Did you eat of the tree? The woman. This is great courage here. Right? So, you know, why do people pass the buck? Why do they fail to take responsibility? Why do some men, they would rather admit that they have hemorrhoids than to admit that they're wrong? Why is it, "I was wrong"? Some of the hardest words for men sometimes. And we know why. Number one, of course, is fear of consequences. Right? He's afraid of what's going to happen if he says, "Yes, I sinned," or "I did wrong." That's a natural feeling. Human nature is that way. But the second is simply pride. And, men, we almost corner the market on pride. I'm not saying there's not pride. Proud women, but as men, we have pride issues. And by when I say we, I mean you too. I'm not just talking about me. So, and then of course, why do people fail to take responsibility? It actually, that's a whole sermon in itself, which I've preached numbers of them, but it actually makes people feel better if they can pass the blame in all of life, in whatever area of life, if you can pull your blame card. And you don't know the way I was raised and my childhood and my, blah, blah, blah. So that then makes you protected. So blame is as old as human beings, but it has consequences. So relationships. If you fail to own up, if you fail to take responsibility, number one, how do you think Eve felt when Adam said, "The woman"? Do you think they were happy at dinner that night? Do you think she's like, "Baby, I'm just feeling warm and fuzzy. When you threw me under the bus, I just felt so close to you"? I know people. I'm predicting that Eve made him pay. I'm predicting that this, Adam lived for 900 years. I know people. She brought this up many times. "What about the time when you said, 'The woman you gave me'?" So it is possible that some of you in your relationships right now, you are suffering because you have blamed instead of taking responsibility. Then relationship with God. Proverbs 12:22.
"Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight."
Okay, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So you can spin a tale that absolves you of responsibility. It may make you feel good on the inside. You may have an emotion, you may feel angry, you may have tears in your eyes when you tell it, but blame is a lie. You're editing out facts, blame is a lie. And so the Bible says God hates it. You're not going to have a close and healthy relationship with God if you're a blamer. In my observation through the years, people who are blamers don't do well in salvation. They don't blossom. They don't last, usually. They certainly are not effective, because blame affects your relationship with God. And then finally, destiny. Men who fail to take responsibility, either they lose destiny if they're already entered into it, or they most commonly fail to enter it. And so this story is actually all about the future of what they're supposed to be in God. So that's always the case. The classic example is Saul. This day, the kingdom is taken from you, because he was a blamer. That was one of the major factors with Saul. So your future as a man depends on accepting responsibility. This is a powerful principle. Anytime you want to use the Bible to try to browbeat your wife or other women into believing that you're in charge, men being responsible is a weight. It's not cool. Look at all the perks I get. Being in charge is a weight. People who want leadership, lust for leadership, it's simply because they have no concept of what it means. Genesis 3:9. I might have failed to give that to that.
Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?"
Okay, so there's two people in the garden. They both sinned. You want to get technical? Eve sinned first in that way, as far as actually partaking of the tree. But when God comes looking between a man and a woman, who does he hold responsible? He didn't come, "Eve, you ate first, let's talk." No, they're a unit, and God says, "Adam, where are you?" That's a weight of responsibility. You need to understand that. So he is ultimately responsible. From that principle, we learn numbers of things in the Bible. First Timothy 3 gives us the qualifications of ministry. One of those is husband of one wife. If you are a man and as a Christian you divorce in our fellowship, you will never pastor again. That's not an option, because we believe, but she was riding a broom. But Adam, where are you? That means you may make you feel warm and fuzzy to point out how your wife is this or that. But God says he holds men responsible for creating the environment, failing to meet a need, failing to wisely apply leadership, et cetera, et cetera. So you got to understand that. That's a weight. That's not a perk. It's not an ego boost. So we don't have it in our scripture, but Adam ultimately accepts the skin of a slain animal. So part of what he's doing here is accepting responsibility. I deserve this. Some scholars say perhaps even the blood would still be on it. He's saying, I deserved this. This is me. That's why I need this skin, because I did that. So that's one of the crucial factors of life. Healing begins at the point of responsibility. I know people, they're old and they're still. They will never take responsibility. They never get healed. They never move on. Healing may begin relationally. If you were to own up, some of you, if you were to own up to your wife, it might be that you'll have to take her to the ER. That would be one possibility, because her heart would stop. But the other possibility is that it may bring healing. And you can never bring healing in a broken relationship without responsibility. And then destiny may begin at the point of responsibility. It was me. I was wrong. It's on me. What can I do? Destiny flows out of that. So here's the lesson of leadership failure. Okay, that should give you things to chew on. Now, questions.
Pastor, yesterday when we talked a similar topic, I actually was thinking a lot of times in modern day you have this idea that this is actually like a partnership. A man and a woman together, we have to make all of our decisions together. And that has some truth, but it's not just a partnership. My understanding is that it's, and I want you to clarify, would you say that really marriage is not just a partnership, it's a partnership under submission to Jesus? Because I was just thinking about it yesterday, like in any kind of problem in a marriage, if like she wants something and you maybe it doesn't matter and you don't give it to her, then she's going to be resentful. But if it's something she shouldn't have, then in the future, she's going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
So, how do you balance, you know?
Well, you're men are ultimately responsible. So there are times when, you know, they're in life, first of all, you have no right to demand what you've not explained. That's first of all. Secondly, you have no right to demand where you have not been meeting a need. If you're neglecting to the point where she hates you and now you say, woman, submit, that won't work, because leadership is not simply the one who gives an order, right? But then ultimately there is the point. If you build value, if you give wise instruction, then there are points in time in which you then have the right to say, no, this is the way it's going to be. And that's fair enough. And that will work well. So you include, that's one of the simple factors in life of major decisions. Man comes home and is like, honey, I bought a yacht. Like, what? Never including her, right? I quit my job. We're moving to Tupelo tomorrow. You didn't even talk about this. I don't think that's going to go well. So you include. So it's everything else. You have to. That's why Jesus, because he served, he could also rebuke. So it all comes before. So I trust none of you are going to take this lesson today and go home and bludgeon your wife saying, Pastor Greg says, right? Because it's built. So for some of you, it's as practical as this. You realize you have failed to include, instruct, and value. So you have to build a bank of that. And you, and as I said, so you build a bank so that you then have the right to, this is the way it's going to be. And then also you have the nature of life. We get busy with work, ministry, our own interests, and then you realize I've actually been neglecting. If you're wise, your wife starts giving you signals. You begin to understand. And so those who don't pay attention to the signals are the ones who will claim, you can't work women out. Don't understand them. That's because you didn't listen when she said to you 500 times in a row. And that's the key. So there's a whole process.
So is what you're saying that we need to figure out what she needs?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Dwell with your wives according to wisdom, right? Your wife may be nothing like mine. That's fine. There's an individual. So I can give you overall principles, but then some are, you know, there are some wives that they are spendthrifts. They will spend their family into the poorhouse. My wife's not like that. My wife, I have to urge her to spend money. Yes, buy it. So, but that's just a difference. I'm giving you just one practical difference. So you got to work out your own wife. That may be background, that may be upbringing, you know, past experiences, et cetera, yeah. So you got to work your own wife out. And that is overall, and then that is situationally. Because things happen. What's going on at the moment that you have to pay attention to? Phil.
How how do you discern what is the balance with your wife in regards to, you know, because she's not, our wives are not disciples, you know, and they're not necessarily expected to maybe do all of the same things that we might should do, but they maybe should do some of them just as good, strong Christians. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, where do you say something and if, where do you not?
Well, there are certain things that you have to be by revelation. So, for instance, if you order, you know, go on a checklist. Woman, did you read your Bible today? Show me your reading record, you know. That's not going to work well. So it has to be by revelation. There are things only Jesus can reveal, right, in certain ways. But valuing is the crucial skill that men need. To value their wife and to, again, when he's involved in ministry, making her feel like she's a part of it, he's appreciating, you know, telling her, I appreciate when you are, giving up a night so that I can be involved in ministry or whatever, you're a part of that in what I'm doing. So, thanks and appreciation. People do a lot of things when they feel valued. Right?
Pastor, so when a man has to make that hard decision of observing his wife, probably going to make a rash decision on something because she wants to do it, and you have to step in. Is that like a test? Like she knows that she's going to make a decision that you're not going to agree with, and that she's waiting for you to either...
Yeah, possibly. Yeah, it may possibly be. Life has tests. Whether you, I don't know if you're saying, is your wife doing it deliberately? I don't know about that, but believe me, life has tests. Yeah. So you got to pass the test. That's the key. And there ain't no app for this. That's the trick. Be nice. Anybody else?
So what if it wasn't a test? how do you, when is that, if it wasn't a test, and she just kind of falls into decisions and patterns, you just pray over that and that's the end of it?
Well, that depends on whether that's simply an emotion or a preference, then that's something Jesus has to reveal. If it's an actual decision, right? If your wife is friends with a rebel, that would be different than if your wife prefers something. You know, there are things that I don't want you to get together with that woman, and explaining why, not a knee jerk. And part of that, in the overall. The better you are at communicating overall, the easier it is when you have to have difficult decisions. So if the only way that you can communicate is screaming at each other and throwing plates, you're very unlikely to successfully be. You have to be able to listen. That's first of all. Try to hear and get where they're coming from. Without taking offense at, you said always. I can tell you, there was a day last October and I didn't do that, so it's clearly not always. You're missing the point, right? So learning to communicate without there being, I immediately then come back on everything you've done. So it's a skill. Communication is a skill. You can get better at it. And I can tell you, pride is the greatest hindrance to communication.
So is this like... If we haven't been, if there's no respect, and I just, every time my wife says or tries to do something, I'm like, no, don't do that. That's not spiritual or something. We have to build a rapport with her so that she can, so is part of that, like, I need to change the way I'm living, so I'm an example. And then, so she will trust what I'm thinking or the decisions. Because if we just go home and say, all right, this is what we're doing, and we've been
we've been living completely different. She's going to be like, yeah, right.
Yeah. So, but that's communication. Do you, so this is what I am thinking. You're including her in the decision. It's not just laying down the law. If you've been making errors or approaching life incorrectly, you begin by, this is what God is speaking to me. I think I have been doing this wrong. What do you think? That would be including her in the conversation. I think this is how it's hurting us. And I'm the one responsible. You're trying to get buy-in, right? And that's true of negative things. That's true of positive things, right? You would not want. It's like ministry. You don't want it to be Friday night of conference, and we announce something, and suddenly your wife is like, what? I never knew this is what you're wanting to do. It would be including in the whole process.
So how you say it.
That's right. Yeah. Communication is not ordering. Adam's first failure was a failure to communicate. Right?
How do you perfect your or work on your skill on communication?
You practice. Communication is a skill in every area of life. You practice. It's the same way you get to Carnegie Hall. Practice, 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 baby. So, I mean, you've heard me tell there was a time when I was uncomfortable conversing with people one-on-one. I have never had a problem from the time I was young talking in front of crowds. For some people, that terrifies them. I didn't mind crowds. I didn't like one-on-one. So as a disciple, I said, that would obviously be a crucial skill. So I practiced. I literally said, I will practice communicating. I tried to get help. I read books. That would be one thing. And then if we're talking now, that's in general. But then in your own marriage, that is trying honestly to look. For me, in my marriage, something shifted when it finally dawned on me. Every time my wife brings something up, I get mad and yell and start talking about something she did wrong. We're not getting anywhere. So the angels began to sing and a light shone from heaven at this point. Maybe it would be better to not get mad and to listen and to hear what she has to say without recrimination. And I know, I mean, that's like I should have known that from the beginning, but I didn't. And so, I practiced. You try to hold your tongue, you listen, you try to get where they're coming from. You know, that's true in any area of life. Bill?
In an argument, like if it gets heated, that's probably already too late to go back to where you should have been conversing, communicating correctly. At that point in my marriage, I feel like if she's coming at me in a certain way, I feel like as a man, I need to stand my ground and tell her what's up, you know, but I realize mentally that's wrong.
How has that worked for you so far?
It never works.
That's exactly right.
At the same time, if I don't say anything, I almost have this feeling, and I guess this is wrong too, feel like if I just let her just basically shout at me, that I'm not the man. I should be having something.
Which is pride.
Right.
Right? So more to the point is, why does your wife feel it is necessary to shout at you? That's the key. So that's that. And again, I'm telling you personally, so my wife, and every time she brings up, and I'm not going to stand for that. But that dwelling with your wife according to wisdom is why is she like that? Why does she feel that's a healthy way to speak to me? Because the Bible says I had something to do with that. Right? Adam, where are you? So of course Eve has to do certain things, but the responsibility, that is why a man who says, I could have had a destiny. We could be blessed. But woman, you are my wife. You don't get it. You're missing the point. So that is why. Why does she react in that way? And I discovered that some of the negative reactions that I hated, I actually created. So it didn't help me to get mad at her for what I created in the first place. I made her feel unvalued. If she doesn't feel valued, then anger or sarcasm, depending on what your, or coldness, depending on your wife's temperament, is a logical reaction, according to them. It doesn't help, but I helped create it. So I was the key to undoing that. Right? So, gotta pray for wisdom. Yep.
Pastor, so then, if we include our wives in things and navigate through, like you're saying, you know, we got a hard decision to make, whether it's family or ministry, whatever. When it comes to a point where we say, no, that's not right, we got to make a stand, cutting person off or whatever, I mean, then there's still going to be conflict, but I mean, it like ease up the pain a little bit, you know what I mean, or the conflict, I mean, just keeping her in, look, we've already talked about this.
Yeah, but again, it's never a decision, a hard decision is never isolated. That's the key. Only this. A hard decision is, first of all that has gone on before, up to that point, and then, of course, in the overall, in the consequences after, wisely. So, it may be valid. No, I do not want you with that person. That may have to be reiterated. It may have to be rediscussed or explained. But overall, women actually, even if they fight you, women want strong leadership. And that's the thing you have to understand. They do want it. They will fight you. That's what your desire will be unto your husband, which is you will want to rule. That's part of the curse of sin. But at the end of the day, a wife wants a man to make wise decisions, to take responsibility. And that's in the overall. So she won't magically go, "Hi, that's a wonderful idea, dear. Thank you for telling me that." So it's the overall. So.
Is there ever a point in a relationship that sarcasm, is it like a, as opposed to being a passive-aggressive dig, that you can use it as a form of talking and keeping it light?
Some people, that's their superpower. That's a bumper sticker. Sarcasm is my superpower. I don't know, Steve. When you get married, you try it. You see how it works. That's the key. Okay. Go ahead.
So Pastor Mitchell's often said that women are smarter than men, but men are in charge. So I'm trying to figure out how that works. Oftentimes I feel like, you know, who am I to, you know, am I right in this? How do I know I'm right? Do I know I'm making the right decision? Maybe she knows more than, you know, maybe she's better at figuring this out than I am.
So there may undoubtedly be areas that that she is. So, again, it's everything that goes before. So to make a demand without laying the foundation is unlikely to work well. So valuing your wife's strengths is a crucial factor. Finding and valuing and communicating that. And then you come to wise decisions. So at the end of the day, if I, number one, have a relationship with Jesus, a genuine relationship with Jesus, which is not simply I go to prayer or I read my Bible. Part of that, when I read my Bible, I'm not looking for, I got to find stuff for all of you. For me, when I read my Bible, number one is, where am I in here? What is it saying to me, first of all? That's a real relationship. Because sometimes what I see is not pleasant. What I see about Greg Mitchell is not, I don't like it. It's like, ooh, ouch. That's a, so if I have a relationship, number two, if I can have the humility to accept when I'm wrong. Thirdly, if I am, my relationship is asking God for wisdom. Fourthly, if I am seeking outside wisdom. Those are all basic factors that then, some of those are actually before I ever get to relationship with my wife. All of those are factored in. If at any point I think I've arrived, I don't, the word of God now is no longer for me, that's for everybody else, it's going to not work well relationally. Because our relationship with God flows out with people. That's you know, love the Lord your God, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Starts with God, flows to people. And so then, in all of that, that's why if you're a man, it gives your wife confidence to see that you have a relationship with God, that you have humility to ask questions. That actually encourages your wife in that it's not just a knee-jerk reaction of, woman, you're going to. So you build up a track record, and then you can be able to make difficult decisions sometimes. Good. The world's problems are solved. My work is done. Yours, however, is just beginning.